When Lil Nas X dropped Old Town Road in 2018, he pretty much broke the internet.
Yeah, I'm gonna take my horse to the Old Town Road. I'm gonna...
Some people might have thought this was a young person's 15 minutes of fame. 2 years and two Grammys later, Lil Nas X is saying he's here to stay.
Funny.
His new album, Montero, is out now. So NPR music reporter Sydney Madden spoke with him about it this week.
Not only has Lil Nas X broken Billboard records, he's breaking barriers. Lil Nas X is openly gay, and through his music, his videos, and comedic clapbacks to critics, he's using his platform to generate new conversations about what it means to be black and queer in the music industry. It's a position the 22-year-old does not take lightly, but he's not trying to limit his own artistic narrative either.
My intention is always to be as entertaining as possible. I'm not trying to comfort anyone. You know, it's my music career, and I feel like if people get upset at it, that's even better, because if nobody's upset at what you're doing, then it's probably not worth it.
His debut album has been two very eventful years in the making. So I began by asking the pop rap star how his approach to music has changed in that time.
I guess I'm a lot more confident, and I actually go back in and I'll rewrite verses now, or, you know, change the beat pattern or whatnot. When at first, you know, once I was in the studio on that day, the song was finished and I wasn't going back to it, you know?
So you've gone back to the drawing board a lot. What's one song on the album that we can hear that metamorphosis?
I feel like all of them, but especially Lost in the Citadel. I went back and wrote that like a million times, I guess because the situation kept changing.
Tell me, are you feeling down? Are you happy? Do your dreams still seem inbound?
Lost in the Citadel is about this relationship that I kept going back to and like expecting like a different outcome when it was going to be the same situation over and over again. And it's called Lost in the Citadel because it's like you're in this place that you can't really get out of, you know, it's like a maze.
You have so much exuberant confidence, but it's clear that you analyze your own output and your own creative process a lot. And I really like the song Dead Right Now.
Even though I'm right here by the phone, dog, you know you never used to call. Keep it that way now. I'll treat you like you're dead right now.
I actually feel dead right now. As soon as I moved into my new house, I spent the entire day just kind of writing, and it was kind of hard because I'm still getting used to like writing personal stuff and songs and being open to people about my private life. But, you know, I really just want to be honest with fans, remind people that I am a human being and that we all have the same situations in different forms, you know?
2018, I was in my sister's house the whole summer. Songs wasn't doing numbers. Whole life was going under. Left school, then my dad and I had a face-to-face in Atlanta.
And what allowed you to be more personal?
I thought about the people who I look up to the most, like say Kanye or Drake or Nicki. What really connects is when they're saying the things that are happening internally. So they're letting you like get a peek into their life and just humanize them more. Because people a lot of times see celebrities or anybody famous as just a being existing.
Not a real person.
Yeah.
Do you ever feel like you've been put in a box so far in your career?
Yeah, and I feel like it's going to happen over and over and over again. We unintentionally say people are exactly our first thoughts of them. Whatever I'm saying right now, I may not agree with in a year from now, you know? Or things I'm doing right now, I may say, maybe I should have did that differently. Because, you know, we change as people over and over and over again.
Has there ever been internal pushback on what you want to do and how you express yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. If I'm saying something in a song like the second verse in Call Me, or even the first verse, or even talking about guys and music.
I caught it bad just today. You hit me with a call to your place. Ain't been out in a while anyway. Was hoping I could catch you throwing smiles in my face.
Even, you know, going to these pole dancing classes or going to the BET Awards and performing all, you know, sensually.
Champagne and drinking with your friends. You live in the dark, boy, I cannot pretend.
It's a lot of pushback internally, but I know a lot of times that's actually my guide to do exactly what I'm doing, you know? Because a lot of times when you're afraid to do something, that's when you should really do it.
And hip-hop's historically been, like, very homophobic in some respects. How has that affected your relationship with the genre?
I wouldn't be here without hip-hop. I understand how things have been, and I let go of it, you know? Like, there's a long build of homophobia, not even just in hip-hop, but, like, in the world. It's, like, something that has been molded for a very long time. And I understand it takes a lot for people to unlearn, you know? I feel like I've thought that way at one point in time, you know? I mean, that's the reason why there's still a lot of people that are extremely racist in the world, because it was a thing that was cultivated, like, over time. So it's going to take some time to, you know, calm it down, I guess.
Can you give me an example when you did that and you had to unlearn that?
Yeah. When people would say, like, I love you because you're not like the other gay people and stuff. I thought that was like a compliment. But in reality, those people are just against feminine men, you know? And the only reason they actually hate that because they've been taught over time, like, this is not how this specific person or thing is supposed to be.
At the end of the album, you're contemplating your own legacy. You're talking about leaving a legacy. I'm trying to have you forecast what that legacy is going to mean 5-10 years from now when the fan who's hearing it right now starts their own music career. What boundaries are they going to break? And what boundaries are they not going to have to think about because you already broke them?
I feel like they won't have to worry about, you know, being maybe a queer person in the industry or being stifled by whatever somebody has to say about you on the internet, because I feel like that's also a big difference between artists nowadays and artists like 10 years ago or so. It's like we're open to hate from millions of people around the world, and it's possibly, you know, harder to block out. I feel like that'll be easier for them in the future, you know? I don't know. I feel like maybe we'll have like a mainstream trans artist.
And then they're going to be the first artist to headline on Mars, and they could be a trans artist and it's going to not even be part of the near.
Let's hope I'm the first artist to headline on Mars.
Okay. Speak it into the universe, literally.
Let's do it.
Lil Nas X, thank you so much.
Thank you.
That was NPR music reporter Sydney Madden talking to Lil Nas X. His debut album, Montero, is out now.